Hey Potters, welcome to episode 198 of CosPods Podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! We're almost at episode 200! Two more episodes left to go!
That was very... Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That was very Homer Simpson, I like that.
All it needs is a donut.
Yeah, we can make that happen. Give me time.
Maybe later. For now, we have to talk about cosplay.
Yes, cosplay first. Donut later. Oh, donuts.
Yeah, because if you eat the donut first, then you're going to get your cosplay dirty.
Yeah, no thank you. And I got stuff all around me that I really can't do that.
Eating in cosplay is hard enough as is, and eating while you're making cosplay is even worse because then you're really tempting Murphy. Like, anytime you have anything near a costume you're working on, whether it's food, it's drink, it's pets, it's other human beings, it doesn't matter. Anything that could potentially do something to it, if it gets near your cosplay's done for.
Yeah, it's just... Murphy! Oh, gravy.
If you don't know who Murphy is, please go Google Murphy's Law.
It is very important, if you are any type of maker or crafter, that you are fully aware of who the heck Murphy is.
Please make friends with Murphy. I don't mean in the sense of, you know, first name basis, invite them into your house. But it's one of those things where sometimes you make donations, you make offerings as a sort of way to smooth the path of making your cosplay.
You appease the god that is Murphy by bowing to him and understanding and respecting him.
All hail the divine Murphy.
There you go. So hey, let's talk about our cosplay updates.
Well, since we actually just recorded 5 days ago, I actually don't really have anything to show because it would be another pile of fabric.
You're good at the piles of fabric, though.
Well, it's because each time I make a little bit of progress on the fabric, so it's effectively the same pile of fabric, just with more stitching in it.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't even have stitching in that fabric because I turned to work on the flag, the clan banner instead, because it's a little bit more portable, so that if I need to take it places with me, I can.
Sure.
So I need to quilt the lining pieces before I can really get to work on the actual costume part of it. And part of what I'm trying to do is to schedule things, because if I want to wear the costume on Halloween, I have to have the costume finished by Halloween. But the flag and the hanging I'm working on don't have to be done till November, because I won't be using them till November. So realistically, I actually kind of need to stop working on the flag and start working on the costume.
Priorities.
Time management and scheduling are valuable skills that I still struggle with.
And we talked about it in our last episode too, when it comes to making a cosplay budget. Schedule is a very important thing to have.
Yes. And time is also part of the budget.
Yes, very much so. Well, since you don't have really anything to share, I went on a tirade and got really inspired this week, so I did a whole lot of sewing, unintentionally. The first thing is, because I'm in the process right now, I've got multiple things that I'm working on. I have too many things that I'm working on, so I'm trying to finish up those little things first before I start something new. That's the plan. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that I stick to this, like all of the fingers and all the toes. There's a good chance that that's not going to happen, but I'm going to try. I'm going to put effort into this. So the first thing that I finished up is one of my cross-stitching projects. Eat! It's so pretty and cool and very detailed. Didn't take me very long to fix the sticker up, and I actually even tied off the back of it so that way it's all nice and neat, and if I need to take it apart and clean something up, I can. And it was just a project that I found on Amazon for like $8.95 or something like that. They gave me a ton of floss and 4 needles, and I don't know what to do with all that other than to put it in my stash and use it again in the future, so yay for me. And now I have no more embroidery projects to work on, so I no longer have excuses to keep avoiding doing my Game of Thrones costume. That's basically what this was. Next up, I'm finally getting back to my Borderlands costume. It took me forever and a day, so I've already had pieces of the bodysuit seen here, kind of put together, but they weren't one cohesive unit. It's now one cohesive unit, and it actually fits me really nicely. It's a little weird on the dress form because the bottom currently doesn't have an attachment set up, and I need to go ahead and install a zipper in this. There is also a neck piece that I need to redo. I had one attached. I wasn't very happy with it. It was too loose, so I got to go in and fudge it. I'm not really good with neck pieces. I'm worse with arms. And there's a sleeve that's supposed to be attached to this. I'm not looking forward to it. But this will be a fun masterpiece that I get to destroy with paints and paint pens later. I'm not looking forward to it, but I know I have to because Borderlands. It'll be beautiful and wonderful. And I'll hate myself for it. So, got that piece that I'm working on. I'm hopeful that I can get the pants done within the next week or so because they're just a pair of leggings. Just very decorative and different types of stitching. I've made leggings up and down the zone millions of times before I got this. The last thing, and this will probably make Amber happy, I bought myself a pattern. This is not for me, this is a gift for someone. It's an official Harry Potter pattern. Got it for $1.99. Heck yeah, because I'm not going to pay full price. And it's for kids and adult sizes. It's one size fits all on multiple fronts. So it's actually a very, very thick pattern that I get to break open and make for someone. While we were having fun at Universal for one day, we picked up one of the robes that they had there. And the person who wanted said robe, his face lit up like a kid on Christmas. He was so happy. I took a photo of it really quickly. And then I was like, okay, let me check how much it is and what it's made out of. And it was $129.99 before tax, 100% polyester. I was like, I'm gonna make you a better one. One that you can breathe in, and it'll look so much nicer at the end of the day. Plus, it'll be much easier to wash, and you are not going to fry. So that's what this is for. I've already got a patch on the way that I bought off of Etsy from a very reputable seller. It looked really, really nice and very authentic. So there will be Slytherin robes in the future that I will be making. I just got to figure out the sizing and what fabric I'm going to make this out of. I'm leaning towards cotton poplin, possibly. Maybe a linen blend. Haven't quite decided yet. I'm still kind of playing with it because I also want to make sure that I get the green just right. Because the green ain't right, then it ain't gonna look right. So yeah, wizarding away. Whee! Plus easy costume if I ever decide that I want to make my own wizard robes. Done. Whee! So there we go. I have done many cosplay things this week, and it's only been 5 days.
I have that pattern
You
because
do.
I wanted to use it for Halloween at some point because
Nice.
it is an easy peasy.
I
Pretty
noticed
much
that.
straight lines because it's a robe. Now, granted, they do give you a pattern for the tie and for a dickie that goes underneath. It's not the full shirt. It's
Yeah.
just kind of a cover,
Mm-hmm.
which theoretically you could actually just stitch to the robes. So just bear in mind if you ever buy that pattern, guys, you have to have a shirt and pants on underneath.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is not the full thing. It's mostly I got it because of the robes and the tie, because I knew that that would be I didn't want to spend the hour making the pattern. I was like, this was 199 and I can pick it up right now. I got this.
I still insist that I'm Ravenclaw, not Gryffindor,
Have
despite
you
what all the quizzes tell me.
taken the official Harry Pottermore quiz though, like on their official website? They say you're Gryffindor. They put me in Ravenclaw. After all the other quizzes
Gryffindor
have
or
put
Ravenclaw?
all the other quizzes have put me in every one of the houses like a bajillion times. This is the first quiz where it's like you're Ravenclaw. And I was like, okay, if it's from the Harry Potter official site, I will take its word for it.
Maybe I should just start making my own house.
The House of Misfits?
The House of Misplaced Wizards, placed in the wrong house.
Well, you could take the wise words of Harry from the last movie where he tells his kid, you belong to the house that you feel you belong to. You choose your house. So if you think you're a Ravenclaw, you're a Ravenclaw.
Darn Skippy, because I'm not as brave as they seem to think I am.
It just means you're one of the smarter ones to help balance out the grades.
Plus, you'd never see me playing Quidditch.
No. I would refuse. Like, nope.
I'll be a spectator.
There you go. The ride was enough for me.
Yeah. All right. And as we said at the beginning of the episode, we've got episode 200 coming up. Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah! I can't simulate the crowd noise in the background.
I know. Insert noise here.
Yes, this is our final call for submissions, both for anything that you would like us to cover in the show, as well as questions you would like us to answer in the Q&A that we'll be doing for that episode. So if you have anybody that you would like us to bring on the show as maybe a guest, if you have any activities that you would like to suggest for us to do, like maybe go out trick-or-treating, to go visit some local cosplay shops, anything that you want to suggest, please keep it family-friendly, and remember that some of us have work the next day. Please go to the form that has been linked in the chat, and it is also on our site. Please go and put your submissions there. This is the final countdown. Yes, the final call, because we need some time to actually process these
mm-hmm.
and make sure that we can actually have them done in time for the show.
We've already gotten quite a few questions, so I'm already looking forward to it.
Indeed. Now, we do reserve the right, if we need to not answer a question, but we will do our absolute best to answer them to the fullest of our abilities.
So go forth and submit your questions.
Yes. All right. So with that, we will move on to the main topic of the show. Huzzah! Come on, it's that time of year. Let me do it. For 2 months out of the year, I get to do it.
You get to do it. You do you, Amber. You do you. I'm not going to stop you.
I'm always me. Please don't snort the drink on the show.
I really don't want to because this is my favorite tea.
There's no oxygen in there. You can't breathe it.
Well, I mean, there is water. There is oxygen in water. That counts, right? Right?
Anyways, we wanted to revisit a topic that we have covered in the past, but we wanted to revisit it, perhaps check out and see if there are changed opinions on this particular topic, which is cosplay pet peeves.
The return. Bum, bum, bum.
The peefquel.
Oh, God. Hang on, I'm typing that in our chat. Peefquel. So that way I know that we're going to title the episode this. Perfect. This is why I love you, Amber. Hearts for all.
Yes, we all have cosplay pet peeves, specifically pet peeves that have to do with cosplay and cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has them, even if you don't know that you do, because you definitely have some things that you would prefer people not do when it comes to cosplay.
Or certain things happen to you while you are working on cosplay or in some cosplay that just only seems to happen because cosplay. And no other time does it occur.
Remember Murphy, who we introduced earlier this episode? Yeah, this is pretty well acquainted with Murphy.
Murphy and I are very good friends, in not the best way. We're like frenemies.
All right. Why don't you start us off, please?
Okay, so mine is going to be, my first one is the cosplay making portion of it. This always seems to happen to me, and this is why it's a pet peeve. I can never find my seam ripper when I absolutely need it. Despite the fact that I put it in the same location every single time. And it's dumb because it only happens when I do cosplay stuff. If I'm working on quilts or blankets or pillows or other things, no problem. It's a very cosplay-centric thing. I know it's a dumb pet peeve, but you know that there's always that one tool that you need for every costume that always magically disappears when you need it the most. And you end up...
will tell you this happens with clamps.
All the freaking time. I know this so well. I have a bunch of those little small sewing clamps that I got very recently, and they've just been magically disappearing despite the fact that they're in the same container every single time. They just vanish out of thin air. I have to buy myself another pack now, thanks. Swear. It really is a cosplay thing.
So I have two making pet peeves, and I'll just do the first one for now. My scissors go dull after, like, the first set of cuts.
Why does that happen? Oh my
And
God.
even if they're, like, my fabric shears that I don't use on paper, so it's not like they're being dulled by other materials. They're being dulled by the fabric. And given, like, the first set of cuts, like maybe a torso.
Yeah.
I have to go and sharpen my scissors again for the next set of cuts. By the time I finish that, the scissors are dull again. And then I have to sharpen them again. Only my really nice dressmaker shears don't need sharpening, and that's probably just because they're so heavy that they just kind of bully their way through the fabric rather than actually being sharp. But even like my micro tip scissors, I have to constantly sharpen these, and it drives me bonkers.
I noticed that with one of my recent pair of very large scissors. One set of cutting through fabric, and it's already just a mess with everything else. It cannot cut anything else properly, and I've already sharpened them multiple times. I'm like, this was meant for fabric. Why you no cut fabric? And it's not like I'm doing very heavy things like pleather or leather or any of that stuff. It's just like cotton and satin. It should go through it like butter. It don't. I don't know why. Cosplay, why? Cosplay, why?
Cosplay does end in Y.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's a good point.
It's in the name.
It is in the name. Other very obvious pet peeve that's still a pet peeve of mine is reference images when it comes to anime characters or anything from a book or an art book. They never want to show you the back. So you have to magically
make...
There
is no back.
There is no back. It's like... It's like none of these anime characters or video game characters have no back unless you watch the anime or play the video game and hope for the best. But like 9 times out of 10, if you want to get something from a really pretty art book that's this weird variation that you'll never see on the show, this is your one image. There's no back. There's no side.
There's no seams.
There's no seams. You just have to magically make it all up. Which for some people, it's like, great, that's a fun challenge to figure out how this all coordinates together. Whereas me, the accuracy nut's like, I can't make. I had this problem with Tentacruel when I made the Cowslip Gaijinka Pokemon, because all it is just front facing with a little bit of a side. So I had to guess what the back was doing, and I had no clue. The back was so boring on my costume. I felt like it was a failure on many levels. I want more reference images of the back, please. Please, art books, please give me backs.
So my biggest pet peeve when it comes to making pretty much anything is losing pins.
Yeah.
And then not being able to find them until I have bare feet.
Especially when they're on carpet.
So it's not like I try and sit there and... like pull the pins out and toss them somewhere. It's, I have it pinned properly, might I add, and then I go to fit it. And the pins catch on some piece of clothing that I'm already wearing that I can't take off. And I hear ting, 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 ting.
Yep.
And then I don't see the pin anywhere. And I go looking for it and I shine the flashlights everywhere. I look for the gleam of the metal. Can't see it. Where the heck is this? Magnet. Nope. Like 2 weeks later, oh, that's where it went.
It's in my big toe now. Yay. It never fails.
I find it buried when I needed it.
Yeah. It never seems to fail. That always happens. Again, when I do cosplay. It doesn't happen when I make anything else. Just when I'm cosplaying.
And it only happens when I need one pin, one more pin to finish pinning, and I've lost that one pin. And I'm OCD enough that I don't like an asymmetric number of pins. I don't like having a gap in my pin seam. It has to be even all the way across. So then I have to readjust all the other pins to have an even space in between them because I'm missing one.
It's just that one pin to antagonize you.
And this happens regardless of the number of pins you have.
Yeah.
You can buy as many pins as you want or have as few pins as you want. Doesn't matter.
It's just all the pins. They just know.
No, having the magnetic, the wrist holder for them doesn't help because I don't lose them when they're in the carriers. I lose it when it's pinned in the fabric.
And then it magically falls out onto the floor into the abyss.
Yes. The abyss that is the floor.
Yep. Until you step on it. I mean, that's inevitably what always ends up happening. Sometimes you get lucky enough where you get that little gleam of the pinhead and you're like, here it is. It's like finding gold and you're just like, done.
As soon as you hear that tinkle, you freeze. It's like, can't move till I find it.
I need to know where it is.
Yep.
It's really great when you're wearing something and you're trying to get it pinned on you to make sure everything fits correctly that you're just like, okay. Then you start being in robot mode because you can't really move.
Oh, no. I take the fabric off.
Oh, you do?
Even if it means losing more pins, I take it off because if something happens and I lose my balance, I do not want to fall and have all those pins stuck in me. Because
okay.
You always pin parallel, or you pin perpendicular.
Yeah.
So the side seams, all those pins would go straight in you like a comb.
Fair logic.
Nope.
See, I have the opposite thing, whereas if I hear a pin fall, I will make sure that everything fits on me first before I very carefully take it off and start looking for said pin, because I don't want to go back and repin everything again. There's my reasoning.
Next.
Okay, so mine has to do more with the news community around cosplay, and this is kind of a more recent pet peeve of mine. I really dislike those articles that say top 10 cosplays of comic convention, the best cosplays of this anime convention, because it doesn't really represent the convention or the community as a whole. It's just one person or one photographer or one writer's point of view of what they saw at that convention that day when they stood in this one place for an hour or 2 hours, because that's an easy article to write. I know it is. I've seen how that process works multiple times. Or it's photos from a photographer's paid photo sessions that they happen to give to Kotaku or something like that. So it doesn't represent the community. And because so many people try to achieve that goal of, I want to be featured on this website, I want to be featured on this game developer's, you know, social media feeds, it's very discouraging when you're not included, because you're like, well, why wasn't my costume the best? Why wasn't I involved? I was at this same event. I was there right when they were taking photos, but they didn't put mine up there. You know, it's kind of disheartening, and I really dislike that those articles intentionally call out, you know, top 10 cosplays of this event, because it makes everyone else feel excluded.
Well, clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. I would say, having said that, I understand that it is clickbait. It is meant for people to click on it so that they get their ad dollars. I understand that. And there are a number of websites that have gotten better about it over the past year, I've noticed. Kotaku still does it, but not as bad as before. They do have a number of other articles that are like, here's all the cosplay that we saw, which is much more accurate versus here's the top 10 cosplays. But it's also just really hard to see other cosplayers, you know, give their hopes up and say, well, maybe I'm not a good cosplayer because they're not included in those lists. And it's just so frustrating because you want to tell those cosplayers, listen, it's not you. It's just the article, and it's the writer's point of view and the few things that they saw when they were there for an hour. Go out and keep cosplaying, keep doing your thing. Don't restrict yourself to what this one person's opinion is, because it's not representative of what cosplay is all about. So that's my continued pet peeve that I wish would get better.
Speaking of photos, this is one that I actually experience all the time, whether I'm in cosplay or not, people taking photos in the middle of the aisle.
Oh, man, I know.
Regardless of the cosplayer, it's usually on, you know, both parties to move to the side, just so you're out of the way of moving traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't count the number of times in the dealer's den and artist alley areas where basically I get stuck and I can't go anywhere because I'm waiting for the people in front of me to finish taking pictures. And it's like, well, one, Artist Alley and Dealer's Den are not the best place to take pictures anyway, because the lighting is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that usually when you take a picture of a cosplay, you want to focus on the cosplayer. You're going to have a ton of other people around you basically cluttering up the shot, because those are really busy areas with lots of people in a very teeny tiny space.
Right.
So if you're going to do it in those areas, just scoot over to the side, like near the wall, or, you know, find some, you know, unobstructed corner that's unoccupied. Because I understand some vendors may not like you, you know, standing in front of their table taking photos.
Right.
I can understand. But please do move so that you don't impede traffic. And also because there are people like me who are very highly claustrophobic, and being trapped with hordes of people around you just sometimes can make people really anxious. So it's a little discourteous.
It's kind of surprising that this is still a thing, given how long convention culture has been around, that it should seem natural. Okay, I want a cosplayer's photo. We're in a very tight area. Let's move off to the side so that way we're not impeding the flow of traffic, but it still happens all the time. And a part of me, I get it, especially in like dealers halls where you're in a very big, busy convention, like, you know, San Diego Comic-Con. This might be the only time you see this cosplayer. Chances of you running to them in the hallway or at a panel are probably zilch. So you want to get their photo, and you're excited for it. Just step over to the side a little, please. I know it may not be as pretty of an image because you're not in the middle of the aisle, and all you're going to get is mostly the booth in the background, but you're disrupting everybody else in the process. So just, you know, just move.
Yes, please. If you can, take the photos outside of those areas. We understand that, you know, sometimes that's not always preferable.
Mm-hmm. You do the best that you can with what you got. So continuing with the photo trend, I had this happen to me once, and I've been reading about it happening more and more to cosplayers, is photographers who will take your photo in the hall, but then immediately request that you pay them so you can get a copy of the photo. Like, this isn't a prepaid photo shoot. This isn't something where you set up the content beforehand and have already paid them and know that you're going to get photos out of it. This is, hey, can I borrow you for a photo real quick? Sure. Click. Okay, that'll be $25. And you're just like, huh? It wasn't just a convention photo for you to look at and for your memory book or to put online on a blog later? No, they expect you to pay right then and there for access to that photo. It is so strange and so weird and incredibly unprofessional. I don't know what the logic is behind it other than to try to make a quick buck, but if that's someone's way to get into photography on the convention scene, it's a terrible way of doing that. Please don't do that. So not cool, so unprofessional.
I only have one other one that deals with photography.
Mm-hmm.
And this was mostly a thing at the Anatole. It's not so much a thing in other local hotels, but anywhere that has sculptures or art installations, basically showy backgrounds where people might want to take pictures, I ask humbly and politely that cosplayers please be respectful of them. Don't climb on them. Don't deface them. They're not yours. The hotel doesn't have to let you take pictures with them at all. So please be polite and respectful towards the art. You know, it might make a really great picture for you to sit on top of the elephant that is 10 feet tall and have someone boost you so that you can actually sit on top of it. But one, that's dangerous, because if you come down and fall, the hotel could be liable. And I don't think the hotel wants that. Two, you could be hurt, and I don't really think you want that in your cosplay. And three, it actually damages the art. Those aren't meant to have people sit on top of them. So, you know, please use common sense.
That should be the case for everybody attending convention. Just
that's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Dallas Convention Center, they have a sculpture area. It's like, come on, guys. Seriously, like, don't climb fences.
Right?
Just don't.
Just the rules of society still apply even when you are in a convention space. So just be chill, follow the rules, follow the law, everything will be gravy.
There's always Photoshop.
There is always Photoshop. Photoshop is a magical, wonderful tool that can do some amazing things. I know, I work with it every day. So, since we're pretty close to ending up the episode, I'm going to wrap mine up with probably my other big pet peeve when it comes to crafting. And again, this only happens in cosplay. It doesn't happen when I'm working on quilts, is bobbin thread. Always seems to know when to run out when you really don't want it to, especially when I'm doing appliqué. Like, it just knows that I'm at the end of a really tough stitch and the curve looks so wonderful, and I'm almost there, almost there. Oh, I ran out of bobbin thread. Great! Awesome!
I'm so well acquainted with this problem that it's not even really a problem anymore.
Sometimes, I mean, I'm at the point now when it happens, I sigh or I laugh at it because it's like, I knew this was coming.
I just glare at my bobbin and move on.
On the flip side, when you finish that stitch and you have just enough thread to finish it up, it is the most beautiful thing in the world. Like the bobbin runs out just as you get that last stitch done and you're finished with the project, you're just like, praise! It did it right!
You know, speaking of problems that you can't get over, Puffy Paint and I have a
You have a magical history.
mutually opposed relationship sometimes. It is the worst thing in the world to be almost done, and then a giant air bubble makes it explode all over your fabric, and you have to not only rush to get a Q-tip with water to try and clean it up, because if you do not immediately clean it up, it will dry and you will not be able to move it, but then you have to continue on and try and mask your mistake.
Yep.
And of course, it only happens in the most visible of spots. It's never on the
Yeah.
back. It's never on the sides. It's right in the front on the chest.
Where everyone can see it and critique it. Yeah.
You don't even have to tell them it's there.
No.
You'll see it.
We know it's there.
All you can really do is just try and bedazzle it more.
Woo.
Air bubbles are my equivalent of the bobbin thread running out.
Yeah.
If bobbins could explode with paint.
I hope that never happens. I would be so bad.
Just imagine if it like spewed thread everywhere on your piece that you're sewing. Yeah, that's about it.
Man. It's almost as bad as getting a rat's nest while you're working on applique, because you know the bottom is just going to look like a train wreck. The top may look okay, but you're like, oh no, I can hear it. This is bad. And it's just nothing but a pile of knotted up threads underneath that you have to clip through very carefully and clean it up so you could restitch it again once you cleaned out your machine.
Occasionally, my bobbin thread does that. When I start stitching, I get the rat's nest underneath,
Yep.
and I have to slowly untangle it so I can tie the threads off.
Yep. It's so great. Cosplay.
Trying to put the play back in cosplay.
Yay! Oh goodness. We
Now,
always
of
have
course,
fun.
folks, there are so many more of these that
Yeah.
we could talk about, and we know that you guys have plenty of these to talk about. So please, we invite you guys to join in the discussion, join in the conversation on what your pet peeves are, or if you have comments on the things that we talked about as our pet peeves, we invite you to join the conversation in any of our social media, which you can find linked here on the page.
Down there in the corner, I even just made a Facebook post about it so that way you guys can comment. Quite literally, I just made it.
Indeed. Or, of course, you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, if you prefer to take your conversation offline. Please do keep them family friendly. Oh, this could be such a great conversation to have with the Potters.
Right? Oh, man.
It's always fun to rant just a little bit because it makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. Because you're not the only one that experiences these things.
Because we know that a number of the things that we run into with cosplay are very universal.
Cosplay is, it's a universal art.
It is?
It is.
Very and much so.
It has some pretty universal cons.
Oh, bazinga. Truth.
All right, folks. Well, we hope that your cosplay preparations for Halloween are going wonderfully. We invite you to, of course, share your progress with us if you would like. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. See you next episode in 199. We're almost there.
Yay!
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys!